Now, how many have a fruit basket in your dining room? Okay, all right. Oh, just a few of us. Do you have a fruit basket in your kitchen? Anybody? All right. Okay, there's more in the kitchen. Okay, well, praise God. Well, we're going to use this as our focal point today because I said, well, not only is it in the dining room, it represents the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And we have the banana of joy and the peach of peace and the pear of goodness and the mangle of meekness and the grapes of gratefulness. Hallelujah. And especially we're looking at today the kiwi of kindness. Amen. How many like kiwi? Our kiwi is delicious. It kind of is an underrated fruit. Fuzzy on the outside, but it's sweet and tangy on the end. Hallelujah. Well, we're going to focus on the kiwi of kindness. It's a fruit that never goes out of season. Amen. Today we're going to look at this kiwi fruit of kindness and see what it is and how powerful of effect it can have in the lives of our families. So take a high five to your neighbor near you and say, neighbor, take a risk. Discover the power of kiwi kindness. Of kiwi kindness. Amen. But first, let's join our hearts, saints. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. We thank you for the honor of being part of your family, the great family of God. Today, we thank you for our individual families today. And Lord, we pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts would be pleasing and acceptable unto you and transforming, O God, that we might go forth as families together, sharing the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ and performing deeds of love and joy and peace and kindness, evidences of your love in all that we are and all that we say and do. And Lord, we say thank you ahead of time for it, to your glory and to the blessing of we, your people, and all God's saints join together to say, amen. Amen. There was a youth worship teacher who asked her class if they knew the difference between kindness and loving kindness. And one little girl, she said, ooh, I know the difference. So the teacher said, all right, what's the difference? She said, kindness is when you ask your mother for a piece of toast, and she toasts it and gives it to you. That's kindness. She said, but loving kindness is when you ask your mother for a piece of toast, and she toasts it, and she puts butter and jelly on it, too. All right. Kindness are those little things, amen, that make a great big difference in our lives. Hallelujah. It's like whipped cream and cherry on the top. That kindness makes it extra sweet. How beautiful a day is, saints, when kindness touches it. And the book of Proverbs tells us the words of kindness are more healing to a drooping heart than even balm or honey. And saints, our families could be more healthier and happier than ever before if we would build our families on the loving kindness foundation that we have in God. So looking at our note sheet, the first of all, I want to talk about what is kindness. Well, kindness is the fifth fruit in the list of the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22. And the Greek term for kindness comes from the same word that we get our term kin and kindred. And this literally means that we're to treat others like our very own family. We're going to talk about our very own families today. We are to be compassionate is what this Greek term is saying. It means to show mercy and understanding, love and tenderness. It means to be aware of another person's hurts and their sufferings, what they're going through, their problems and challenges, and to offer sympathy and generosity. Now, in the Old Testament, the Hebrew word is pronounced hesed, which is translated kindness. And it's difficult to translate hesed into English because there's no single word in our English language that can convey the whole meaning of hesed. And so we attempt to express what it means by phrases like steadfast love, covenantal love, loving kindness. And what we're trying to get at, these phrases, is the kind of emotion and action that is felt and expressed between family members, parents and children and siblings and spouses, between folks who are deepest of friends. But added to that emotion, saints, is the idea of dependability. Everybody say dependability. That's kindness. Loyalty. loyalty, and unswerving commitment. This all falls under that HESED. And this HESED type of Kiwi kindness, we don't find it too often in our world, but saints, we don't find it often enough in our homes as well, and it is sorely needed. Well, now, kindness seems like something, oh, kindness, that's pretty ordinary, you know. But when you really start to think about kindness, it really is remarkable. It really is inspiring. So indeed, kindness, Scripture tells us, is a calling. Say that with me. Kindness is a calling. Ephesians 4:32 says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. And yes, kindness calls us to be useful and helpful. Kindness calls us to be considerate and gracious in all situations, regardless, everybody say regardless, regardless of the circumstances. Now, this indeed is a difficult calling to answer. Anybody found that out yet? All right, but it is an essential one that we must answer if we're going to grow more like Christ. How many want to grow more like your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? All right, well, kindness is a calling for we as Christ followers. And kindness calls that we care for the feelings of others, that we actually feel with them. Kindness means action. It means showing that you're caring, getting in the situation with the person, suffering with the person who's suffering, working with the person who is working and struggling. I want us to just take a moment, say, and just try to imagine what our relationships in our families truly could be if we could actually put this fruit of Kiwi kindness into practice in our daily lives with our loved ones. Now, the practice of the fruit of kindness can literally change our own lives as well as the lives of those around us. Now, I want us each to just take a moment and think about a time in your life when you were feeling like life was just really getting you down. I mean, nothing, everything seemed to be against you, and you were just like, oh, this is just a bad place to be in. And someone came into your life and showed you some kindness. Oh, how sweet it is. How sweet it is. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Just this past week, I was at school. And one day, I thought I had packed all my books, and I got into class, and the professor said, take out your writing handbook. I thought it was in there. I was digging. I'm always digging in my purses. I'm the digger. I'm like, oh, it's not here. So I'm like, oh, she was going through this book, so I'm taking notes, but I really needed that book. And so the person next to me, he had his. And so with my 20/20 vision, I was trying to just look at his, you know. And so I kept like, you know, I was leaning my head over too. So finally he caught the drift, and he scooted his book over just a little bit for me. So with my 20/20 vision, I could read and follow along with the professor. You see, Kiwi kindness, it shows compassion. And I was, finally my colleague had some compassion on me. I was wondering what took him so long to have it. And then I was wondering why he didn't scoot it over a little bit more. But he did show me some compassion, and I was so grateful for that. Amen. So God shows us kindness through the little things in our lives as well. Amen. It might be just you'll see a bird that just doesn't flip in front of you, or something, just some act of kindness that God will just bring to you. I was driving by, and I saw a cat. And she was like posing. She was waiting on the cameras to come and take her Fox 8 or something. But she was so gorgeous. And I said, Lord, thank you for letting me see that pretty cat today. It just did something for me, you know. God can do little acts of kindness, so many acts of kindness. And, you know, in the first century, the believers were so kind that many people didn't know whether their title was followers of Christ or followers of kindness. Oh, isn't that awesome? And I just pray that the Lord would make that so for us today, that they would see Christ in our lives and they would say, wow, you're a follower of kindness as well. Because as Christians, we are to be known as followers of kindness. Amen. And saints, those who know us at home, say those who know us at home, those who know us at home, those whom we share meals with at the dining room table, hallelujah, they should be able to testify that we are kind. Whoa! Now, if the folks in your house, in your family, cannot testify to the fact that you are kind, then you got some work to do. But be encouraged, because we're going to get there. Hallelujah. All right, looking at our second point, why is kindness so powerful and life-changing? Well, saints, it's because we are in a spiritual war. We are in a spiritual war, and the fruit of kindness, praise God, it helps us fight against blessing blockers that Satan throws into our family's path. You see, Satan does not want us to be one in the Spirit, one in the Lord. Satan wants there to be discord. And Satan's primary objective is to annihilate the children of God, to destroy our marriages, destroy our families. And so Satan doesn't want us in unity and love and getting along. So if Satan can get us to resort to unkindness and rudeness and dealing with conflict, then he's hit his target. He has hit it with a bullseye. For you see, Satan wants his followers, he wants us to disobey and to negate God's word. He wants people to look at us and say, look at them, they're just fighting like anybody else. There's no difference with them. You notice at work, at school, people are always watching. And they said, and I thought you said, they're really ready. And Satan would like to hurt our testimony. And Satan despises all people who serve the Lord with gladness. He despises families who serve the Lord with gladness. And he is jealous, and he is going to try to dismantle us. And Satan also knows that we were made for love. We were made for love. We were created for love. Hallelujah. A loving relationship with God and a loving relationship with one another. Now, our families can be happier and healthier if we would build on that loving kindness foundation that God offers us. Now, psychologists have joined in, included that we all need to feel loved as a primary emotional need, all right? Let's just confess that we were created for love, okay? We were created for love. And I want us to imagine that we all have this tank inside of us. Now, this is a love tank. It's like an emotional love tank. And when that tank is full, then we got pep in our step, and we got joy in our spirit and slide in our glide. That's when that emotional tank is full. But when that emotional tank is empty, we feel like, oh, life is so difficult. Oh, it's just so hard. All right, saints, kindness, amen, helps us to keep each other's love tanks full. Kindness helps us to keep each other's love tank full. Amen. And it's essential that all of us work at filling each other's love tanks up. Parents, siblings, children, teenagers, we all need to feel loved, and we all can keep each other's love tank full through kindness. So then, where must kindness begin? It's got to begin at home. Say that with me. Kindness begins at home. Amen. If we don't practice kindness in our homes among the people that we love, where on earth will we practice it? All right, saints, if it isn't happening, high five your neighbor and say, make it happen. Make it happen. Make it happen. Make kindness happen in your home. It begins at home. Have you ever had anybody at your house, in your family, say, ooh-wee, when you go over to the church, you treat those people over there so much nicer than you treat us here at home? Woo! And we say, we don't want to hear that, but because we know a little bit of it's true. All right. And so we know when we come in the house, we like discard the kindness and we just go on in and, you know, just let ourselves hang out. We know that the people at church, they expect us to conform to a certain standard of friendliness. Praise God. Good morning, sister. Good morning, brother. You know, and when we go out to our jobs, we have to have a friendliness about us. We can't go out being nasty. We can't go out being rude at school or obnoxious to people, because we just won't make it if we do that. But at home, oh, we think there's something different about the home. All right, now, saints, since we families live so close together, amen, everybody say, so close together, so close together, differences and conflicts are inevitable. Amen. So if you live long enough, you're going to experience some conflict. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. All right. Now, conflict. causes emotional and internal turmoil, and then it causes us to make some verbal responses. Sometimes it causes us to make some physical responses, amen. It causes us to have relational turmoil with others. Now, saints, the only way to win, the only way to win the battle of conflict against Satan is through the spirit realm, not in the flesh realm, the spirit realm. Now, when a conflict unfolds, the believer has to see, now this is not flesh and blood. This is principalities and power. Who is this before me that I'm having a conflict with? It's a person, a human being. And a human being is merely, we're a spirit that's clothed in flesh. We're all spirits, and we're enclosed in this flesh. So we must win the battle in the spirit realm. Now, we know that communicating love to one's family at times can be difficult. Amen. Sometimes they can be hard to understand. Hallelujah. Amen. Everybody say, but. But long-term kindness between imperfect family members is possible. High five your neighbor and say, yes, it's possible. Long-term kindness is possible. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Now, saints, how is it possible? It's possible by allowing the fruit of the Holy Spirit, by choosing the fruit of the Holy Spirit in the midst of whatever is going on in our lives. Because this fruit is powerful, and it can be life-changing. There's healing for our lives and for our families. Now, I want us to take a quick look at a young Christian who made a decision. She made a choice to choose the fruit in a difficult situation. We're going to learn a few things from her.
Have you ever been kind to someone?
Well, there's this girl at school, and I used to ignore her. I felt so sorry for her because hardly anybody was her friend because she did all this goofy stuff, and some boys even made fun of her. So I talked to myself a little while I was at the lunch table with my friends, and I said, that girl needs a friend I'm going to try and be, and I'm going to try to make friends with her. And when I tried to, it just happened. She was so kind to me. I'm like, this is the friend I need. I forgot how we started to become best friends. It just started to happen. And now we like hang out with each other. We try to find each other at recess. We try to sit at the same lunch table if it's not too crowded. We hang out with each other all the time.
Now, saints, how many know that we all have somebody goofy in our family? All right. How many know we're all goofy in one way or another? All of us got some goofy tendencies, amen? We all do, all right? Sometimes we all can be a little strange and unreasonable in some areas. Now, this little girl, she started out by saying, I tried to ignore her. And sometimes we can try to ignore each other. She said, but then I started talking to myself in my head. How many know we have conversations? We really be talking to ourselves. All right, we have conversations. And she said, all right, concerning this little girl over here who does a lot of goofy things and people don't want anything to do with her, she says, you know what? While I'm sitting here at this lunch table, I think I'm going to get up and go over there and start a conversation with her, all right? She chose not to just keep talking and laughing about the little girl. She chose to pick up the fruit of kindness, and she said, well, I'm going to go over here, and I'm just going to make a conversation and see what can happen. And so she said, we became the best of friends. Now, there might be somebody in your family right now that says, oh, I don't know. But guess what? You can become the best of friends. All right, so she had this conversation, and she got up. Kindness is love in action. Kindness is not just an attitude in our heart or in our mind. Kindness has to get out, saints. It has to be expressed. Kindness held inside is no kindness at all. Amen. All right, now, when we find ourselves in a situation, we must make a decision. We're going to start talking to ourselves. All right, now, Pastor Kelly had a wonderful illustration last week, and it's really stirred up a lot of good conversation. This week, overstepping over shoes, all right, when we first come home. All right, now, she told us the thing to do is to step, go ahead and step over the shoes and go give our loved ones a hug. And that is, that's the right thing. But the conversation this week, that is so hard. All right, we have told them 50 times, please don't leave your shoes. You come in and kick your shoes in the middle of the floor. Please don't do it. You didn't say it 50 times. All right, let's just have a scenario. You come in, and there are the shoes. All right, so then you have it. You start talking. You're having a conversation in your head. All right, so then we have some choices at that time. At that time, we see them shoes. We say, okay, we can put on then the hat of self, okay? This is like the hat of self-protection. It's like I told them 50 times this. They're really trying to get to me. We're attaching ourselves now to the shoes, okay? So we say, they're doing this on purpose. They don't respect me. They don't love me. They're not listening to me. Because look, there are the shoes. And so we let those seeds get all in there, and then we get so upset. Then we come home the next day, and lo and behold, there goes the shoes again. So we got this hat of self on. We're thinking, oh, they don't love me. They don't respect me. They're not listening to me. And then we get worse. And we just keep talking to ourselves, and it's going the wrong way. And so we say, oh, I'm so mad. I'm so mad. I'm so mad. I'm so mad. And I, where are you at? Didn't I tell you about these shoes? I'm sick and tired of you. Oh, well, we just go all crazy. We just go up. I'm sick of this. I'm sick of this. Because we have attached ourselves and our pride. It's all in there with them shoes. Amen. So we come in and we see the shoes on the floor. And so we start having this conversation in our mind, start talking to ourselves. And we say, well, you know what? I'm not going to say this is me or against me or anything. I know they love me. I know this is one of their goofy problems. Okay, this is, we all got an issue. So we try to realize, okay, Lord, help me to see them and love them like you do. I know they've been kicking off their shoes since they were knee-high to a grasshopper. I know they've been doing it since they was three. It's a bad habit, and Lord, I pray you help them with this habit. And help me right now, Lord, because I'm going to pick up the fruit of kindness. I'm going to focus on you and your love for me and your kindness to me and your kindness to them, and I'm not going to focus on these shoes at the moment. I'm going to step over these shoes like we were instructed last week. And I'm going to say, hi, everybody, I'm home. Amen. And then we have a calm conversation. It's like, oh, yeah, there was something at the door I just stepped over, all right? And so we don't have to get to the point where, I know you're trying to kill me. You want me to fall over those shoes? We don't have to go down that path, all right? We can pick up the kiwi of kindness. And I think we don't want to pick up the kiwi of kindness in those situations because we think, they'll run over me. They just think I'm a pushover if I pick up the kiwi of kindness. You know what? They'll listen to this. They'll listen to this. This is the flesh, you see. Oh, they'll get this. Ooh, yeah. But you know what? We think, oh, kiwi of kindness. Oh, that is not going to be strong enough for them. They need something much more than that. No, it's spiritual. We are in a spiritual war, and we need spiritual ammunition. So we pick up this kiwi of kindness, and we say, and when we're calm, we had a nice smoothie, and we had some conversation. You say, okay, now, we got to come to a compromise with these shoes, because I really don't want to fall on the floor. Sometimes I come in with groceries or whatever. So come on, let's see if we can come up with an agreement. When you come in, the closet door is right there. Just kick them in like that. Just see if you can try that. Or just scoot them over to this side and put them behind that plant over there, you know, so that I am not going to fall. And then for the person who keeps leaving their shoes, what we have to do is say, help me, Lord. We have to ask forgiveness. I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I did that again. Oh, I'm working on that. Would you please forgive me? You know what, saints? It's the little things that start piling up. And we get so aggravated with each other, and we let things just blow up. We say, well, you know what? I'm sick and tired of you squeezing this toothpaste from the top. I told you to squeeze it from the bottom. I'm sick of that. But you know what? What we have to do is pick up the kiwi fruit of kindness. And you know, we say, well, you know what? I really like it when you do remember to do it from the bottom. And then the person who keeps squeezing it in any kind of way, making it look in any kind of way, just say, I'm sorry, I'm working on it. It's such a bad habit. It never mattered to me before. But it matters to you. So I, out of kindness, am going to try to brighten your day. I'm going to try to make you happy and feel your love tag. So I'm going to try to do the toothpaste like you would like to do it. Amen. All right, we can take the closet as an example. Some of us are good at cooking things in the closet. All right, so your spouse may say, I'm tired of opening the door and everything falling on me. Okay, I'm sick and tired. You're trying to give me a concussion on my head because every time I open the door, something falls out. And so I have asked forgiveness. Oh, please forgive me. I'm working on the closets. Oh, just help me. Just give me a little time. I'm cleaning the closets. I don't want you hurt from the closet. And so we have to ask forgiveness. We have to communicate. So what I did at our house, I said, let me do one closet at a time. Okay, I need about a month to do this closet. I need about a month to do this closet. Then I called Aunt Taya over. She helped me do a closet. And then it's like that, you know. So he could see that I was working on my goofiness. All right, praise God. All right, saints, to remain emotionally healthy, we have to acknowledge that we are angry. Because if you don't say, you know what, I've asked you 50 times. And so, but we don't have to acknowledge it like this. Amen. Amen. We can acknowledge it by just picking up the fruit, the mango of meekness, and coming to our loved one. And then the kiwi of kindness and say, what are we going to do about this, okay? Kindness, amen, goes out of its way to let the other know that you care. Praise God. So you're going to try real hard out of kindness to stop that because it will fill your loved one's tank up with love and they will feel so good. Amen. So high five your neighbor that's next to you and say, neighbor, pick up the fruit. Pick up the fruit. Hallelujah. Pick up the fruit. Kiwi of kindness, mango of meekness, banana of joy. Hallelujah. Every last one of us, it doesn't matter what our age or who we are, we can be spiritual leaders in our home. Because in every decision that we have to make, every situation, we have to decide, am I going to pick up the banana of joy, the kiwi of kindness, or am I going to put on this self hat and then just start swinging this around? All right. The power is not in the bat. Amen. The power is in the fruit of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God. Praise God. We love you today, Holy Spirit. Now, saints, these fruit, they deal with our character. Everybody say character. Character. We claim to be followers of Jesus Christ. Then kindness must be a part of us. And you'll notice that each fruit builds on the other. Because the kiwi of kindness, just before kindness, Scripture lists patience. How many know patience helps you to be more kinder? Patience helps you to be more kinder. And then the fruit after kindness is goodness. It's like these fruits build on each other. And they make a powerful difference in our lives and in our family's life. Amen. They grow together as we grow together. Hallelujah. And kindness does involve finding ways to brighten and cheer the lives of others. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I want us to take a quick look at four young Christians and to see what they have to say about how they express kindness and give us a few ideas, and we're going to launch off from there.
What can you do to be kind?
Quite a few times I let other people do something that they wanted to do even though I didn't like it that much. That's not all that often. Sometimes at the playground my friends are sad and I sit next to them and talk to them.
And my grandpa's birthday is coming up, so I made him a birthday card with sparkly pens my mom has.
It means like not to be so hard on them and not to be so harsh and cruel. Don't say mean stuff to them and try not to hurt their feelings. God wants us to do that, and it's the right thing.
Remember what the first little fella said? He said, well, to show kindness, quite a few times I let others do what it is they like to do, even though I don't like it. And that was so funny to me. So I said, well, as I was preparing for this, I said, you know what? From henceforth on, I am going to, with a smile, more often, with a smile, watch the History Channel with Pastor Rick. You know, because some of them are like, oh, not again. Praise God. And what he's done for me, I like watching the news. Okay, so he's like, oh, not again. We already know what the weather is going to be. I like that. So both of us, now all we have to do is add smiles. We've been watching. I've been watching the History Channel, Katie, but I'm going to do it with more smile. And I hope he can smile more in the news, because I just love the news. Oh, wow. But things that we don't even like, that's kindness. To go ahead like that little fella said, even though I don't like it, I'm gonna have a good spirit about myself. And you know what? There's hundreds and thousands of ways we can show kindness. But I want to warn us, kindness will cost us something, saints. Kindness is going to cost us time. Everybody say time. It's going to cost us our convenience. It's going to cost us our strength. And sometimes it's going to cost us some money, too. Hallelujah. Being kind. Hallelujah. Now look at our sheet, and I want us together to read these five suggestions that will help us to bring kindness more into our families and into our home. What's the first, saints? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your kindness. When we remember how kind God has been toward us, then we in turn must be kind to others. Number two. Repent of any callousness. Like, I'll leave my shoes there. I don't care. I don't care. I don't care what you said. I don't care. That's called callousness. So we've got to repent of any callousness, all of us, that we have shown in the past. Thirdly, what must we do? Rely on the Holy Spirit to be kind to others through us as we yield this area of our lives to God. Amen. We need you, Holy Spirit, and your fruits. Record next the names of specific people in need to whom we can. And let's just read these three together. I'm sorry. The first is what? Be more gentle. The second, be more gracious. The third, be more generous. All right, high five your neighbor. Say gentle, gracious, generous. G-G-G. Gentle, gracious, generous. Oh, praise God. Now, you got to think of the people that you got to do this for, that right now, maybe you're going through, so you're going to just put it in your journal, write it in your Bible, and record, and then just say, Lord, help me, Holy Spirit, to be more gentle, gracious, and generous. All right, and fifthly, saints, relate the truths we've learned to every situation in which we find ourselves. Amen. Then I have random acts of kindness. All right, for example, you just look at the people in your house, and you say, oh, they look so busy. Maybe I can help them. So let me go do their laundry for them. Maybe that will help them so they can do other things. Now, I would just say, ask them before you do their laundry, because some people, they will turn your white things pink and things like that. So you do have to ask, you know, before you do, because you think you're doing something kind, and then they're just so upset. I remember when Samantha turned 13, she started buying designer clothes. She was working, and she said, Mom, I got it now. I'll wash my clothes from here on out. I said, you sure? You don't want me washing your clothes? She said, oh, no, Mom. I got it. I got it. Because she didn't want her white things pink and just other things like that. I said, wow, okay, it's yours. Go get it, girl. She said, praise God. Oh. But we need to look for opportunity. If you see there's dishes in the sink, and you just go ahead and do the dishes. Praise God. Oh, come on. It only takes a few minutes. If you see the plants are going like this, oh, just somebody come on and put some water on the plants. Amen. Hallelujah. Whatever you see that needs and that would make a difference, that would put some joy in somebody's heart, just look for opportunities for random acts of kindness. Amen. We can make a difference, saints. High five your neighbor and say, we have the power. We got the power. We got the power to make a difference. We got Kiwi power, amen, to make a difference in each other's lives. Hallelujah. Now, saints, you have a homework sheet, and it's yellow. And I'm going to ask that we discover and discuss love languages in our home, because we've got these love tanks, and knowing our loved ones' love language makes it all so much easier. Now, Gary Chapman, he's a marriage counselor. He wrote the book, The Five Love Languages, How to Express Heartfelt Commitment. We have gone through this in Marriage Sensation to help us in our marriages and in our families. And so if we could learn each other's love language, sometimes we're loving each other, but we're speaking our language, that ain't their language. I'm speaking German, you're speaking Chinese, and neither one of us is feeling anything because we don't know what we're talking about. So we have to know each other's love language. This is going to help us communicate and fill each other with love and kindness. Now, the first language is words of affirmation. Find out this week who in your family, this is their love language. Now, some people thrive on words of affirmation. Okay, they really, you look great, the casserole was good, I love your smile, whatever, and that just puts joy in their spirit and pep in their step, and their love tank is full. Amen. Let's read Proverbs 16:24 together. Pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul, and healing to the bones. Amen. So find out who in your family, this is their love language. How many already know this is your love language, all those words of affirmation? Go ahead, you can admit it. All right, it's a wonderful language. The second language is what? Quality time. All right. Now, you just find out. If you hear someone in your family say, you never listen to me, you never spend time with me, you never hear me, chances are quality time is their love language. And so we got to work hard to help them to know that we are there. Turn off the TV. Don't keep reading the newspaper while you're talking to them. They want your attention. Quality time is their love language. Now, if you turn over, the next language is gifts. Some of us, wave your hand if gifts is yours. It's a wonderful love language. They don't mind if you bring them home a pack of gum, if that's what they like, or a box of Tic Tacs. You thought about them while you were away, and that just makes them feel loved. There are those in our family with this love language. What about the next one, the fourth is acts of service. These saints in our house, they love it when you empty the trash. They love it when you take the initiatives and do the dishes or fold the clothes. And if you don't do anything, like you're working hard and they're just sitting there watching cartoons, you're really draining their heart. You know, they want you to at least say, when the commercial comes on, I'll help you do something, you know, so that they know that you love them. The fifth is what? Physical touch. And this language isn't about the bedroom. This is a person who likes hugs and pats and just holding hands sometimes. And they just like being around others' physical presence. And it's a beautiful love language. So we need to find out who in our families has this gift of physical touch. All right, you got the first part of your assignment. By next week, everybody should know what everybody's love language is. Amen? And then we're going to work hard at loving them in their language. All right, now the next assignment is approaching conflict situations. Now, there's five questions when you're in conflict with someone in your family or even beyond to reflect on these questions with another person. What does the Lord appreciate about this person? Can I see these qualities in them? Why am I taking the position I'm taking? These are questions that will help you work through whatever the situation is. How have I myself contributed to the situation? This is a wonderful tool. Now, the next tool is a five-stage process for handling conflict, and it's got an acronym, and the acronym is PEACE. We all want peace in our home. So the first P stands for pray. All right, we got to pray. Pray, pray to make it today. Amen. The E stands for explore each other's, what the other one is saying. Listen to each other. Explore each other. And hear what the other one is really saying rather than just defending your own. And then A is approach possible solutions together. Amen. And then C, collaboration is even better than compromise. All right. Working it out together. Hallelujah. That is powerful. And then E, expel any resentment you still may hold. Because sometimes we allow seeds of resentment to grow and fester and we just need to confess it. We just need to give it to God and give it to our loved one. Just get rid of it. Expel it out in the name of Jesus and make peace with our loved one. All right, now the last exercise is daily growth exercises. Okay, I'm asking that you please have conversation with God. that you would just take time and sit in the presence of God and just soak in our God who is kindness. That's God's character. Soak in the fruits of the Spirit. Soak in who our God is. Hallelujah. Read the Word of God. Do your devotions. Mark up your Bibles and have a discussion with God. Listen to God's voice. Speak to God. Listen to God. I tell you, there's not going to be a more glorious time in your life because we rise up from that place with God. We rise up more filled with peace and the fruits, and we more lean toward picking up the fruit of the Spirit rather than the flesh. When we have had those times with God, we don't even want that. This is what we want. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Now, I want you to just look at these things. You all understand what it is? Are you in? Are you in? All right, high five your neighbor and say, I'm in, neighbor. I'm in. I'm in. Praise God, I'm in. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, saints, every day is another chance to get it right. Thank you, Lord. Every day is another chance to get it right. We all have failed. We all have fallen and sinned against God and one another. But every day is another chance to get it right. And something as simple as a smile can turn somebody's day into a beautiful day. That's a gift of kindness, just a smile. Sometimes you just want to see somebody smile. Well, Angela, Maya Angelou, she said, if you only have one smile in you, just one, then give it to the people you love. Maya Angelou said, just one smile, give it to the people you love. Don't be grouchy at home, like you didn't eat nails for breakfast, nails for dinner. Don't be like that at home, and then you go out in the street. Good morning! Hi! How are you? Oh! Everything's so great. And then you go back home. Whoa! Saints, are we really serious about restoring our families, restoring our homes? Or do we want to just look like it for a couple of hours a week? God is not satisfied with that. God wants us to be concerned with listening to the Holy Spirit's guidance, to coming into our homes and picking up the fruits of gratefulness. I'm so glad to be with you. I love you guys. We're all kind of goofy, but praise God, we're goofy together. Amen. Praise your name. You know, I've seen this plaque in many homes. And this plaque says, Christ is the head of the house, the unseen guest at every meal, the silent listener to every conversation. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Saints, you and your family, we can all possess the things that Christ died for us to have. We can have it. We can have it. Take a risk. You got to take a risk and discover the power of kindness. Hallelujah, hallelujah.